Okay. Let's see. On this, the little handout that I had that said questions to think about. Come on in.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I tried the first door and it was locked, so I thought that was the wrong place.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Here, Ennis.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, on this question to think about, I just handed this out so we would try to think about some things before we actually looked at definitions, just to get an idea of what people think of. You need one more?
Please.
Oh, you want one? Just to get an idea of what we think about when we think about the word evangelism. And I put on here, please don't use a dictionary, because we will have a point where we'll look at some actual definitions. But just wanted to see what comes to mind when we think of evangelism.
About teaching the word.
Okay. Teaching the word. Any other thoughts?
Or? When I looked at it, you know, evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in Scripture we say the word evangelist.
Okay.
So if you look at some of the traits of the evangelist, it gives you, you know, a definition of evangelism.
Okay.
Looking at the work they do, and work appears in a couple of spots.
Okay.
And first, you know, the evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was listed in the idea of teaching, building up, encouraging the word or the Bible.
Okay.
And then when you look over at Timothy, all right, same idea, that there's a work of evangelists there.
Okay.
All right. So that work, and what I was saying is that it's just a work or action that teaches the Bible in any situation, any situation you're in.
Okay. So it's not always necessarily what a lot of times, because it definitely is talking about teaching those that don't know. But it's not always talking about in that sense.
Yeah, it teaches ones who don't know, and it teaches ones to keep them in the faith.
Okay.
It teaches also to build their faith.
Okay. Okay. So we see some of that in Timothy. Okay, yeah, because what Doug said is correct. When we get to definitions, when we see the word evangelist, we'll see that there's three scriptures that's listed for that. And so we can see this idea to evangelize, or we'll notice a lot that it's going to have to do with the teaching. And when we look at some of the other parts of our lessons, we're going to see that this teaching, I don't want to go into too much of detail because we'll get to that, but this teaching is not only bringing people to know the gospel, but and things that lead up to that, but it's also a continuation of teaching, because there's a pattern that we're going to see. And then like Doug said, because then at that point, then it's not just teaching those that don't know in the sense of know as far as how to be saved or anything like that, but you're still, there's a continuation of teaching and learning. Are there any other thoughts or comments for the evangelism?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I added with a dedication or devotion to the I.
The ism
means dedication or devotion.
Yes, ma'am. And we will see some of that too, because that's what the ism part of it is. We'll mention several times that this word doesn't appear in the Bible. But we'll definitely be looking at verses that help explain the idea. And that's correct, the dedication.
Great. Your point about teaching those who know and those who do not know,
mm-hmm.
That's a pretty important point. Some brethren believe that evangelism is only teaching the lost. And so when you say, well, it's more than that, then it really broadens the scope of understanding what evangelism is.
At least that's what I see from the study that I've done, that it's more than just that, because when you're looking at these different examples, I see, even when we get to the point where we look at the Great Commission, the different things like that, we'll notice that, yes, that was for the apostles, that wasn't us, but you see that pattern that has started, and knowing how all of this works, we understand that that is a pattern that we are to follow. And it's a pattern that you'll see when you look in Ephesians about how parents are to teach and different things like that. So it's coming to an understanding of the truth, and but you're teaching them these things at that time as well. And it's a continuation of teaching, is at least what I'm understanding from it. Again, since we don't have this word in the Bible to put our definition on it, it's going to just have to be based on the things that we can see. Hang on just a second. Yes, sir, Ennis?
First thing I think of is love God, love thy neighbor, because it's service. You're serving God, you're doing this, you're spreading the gospel. You have been the beneficiary of God's word, and here you want to be, because you love God and want to do his will, and you love your neighbor, then you want to share that with them.
That's a good point. When we get into our first lesson, we're actually going to look at that point. At one part of it. And that kind of goes back to what Ms. Pat was talking about, the whole ism idea of it, of the evangelism. Yes?
There was an old saying I came across that said, preach the gospel and only use words when necessary. So it's how we live our lives.
Okay.
How we an example of people. How do we react around people? Are people curious? Why don't you react like the rest of the people? That's another way to get people interested, to share your faith and the hope that you have inside you.
And
how we interact with everyone, how we react. Are we Christians when we're behind the wheel of a car? Are we Christians when we're under pressure? All these things people notice.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a couple of people at my job come and ask me, why aren't you acting like the rest of the people?
So what's different about you, huh?
Exactly. So that's how we live our lives.
So, and that's a good point. We'll look at some parts of that as far as, because definitely we should be living a certain way, and it should tell something to other people. But we'll see that it can't just stop right there, though, because you'll be showing an example, and you'll be teaching certain things, but your example won't necessarily save. It'll lead to that, but there are things that are going to have to be verbally taught or shown in the Bible. Yes, sir.
I was thinking also along the lines of it's something. Sometimes people think evangelist is a person that's hired as a preacher or a certain individual. And you mentioned parents to kids, and then it said loving thy neighbor. It's really a work of service that every Christian is responsible to do in some capacity.
Oh, yes.
As doing so, and the service that we're performing, it's a service that we might do for someone else, but it's also a service that we're doing to the Lord. So.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because that word evangelist or preacher, because when those were scattered, they were called preachers. They preached the word, so we'll see some of that as well. So good point, Craig.
The thing that came to my mind is, yes, preaching, but getting specific, preaching what is preaching to Jesus.
Correct.
And
yes.
What he means to us and what that means for our lives.
Okay.
Yeah, you see that in that example, the people of teaching the
Ethiopian eunuch. Okay.
Yeah, starting from that scripture, he preached Jesus.
Yes, yes. Good point. We'll have that in there too. Are there any other comments or thoughts? Or no? Okay, then. Guess we can move on to the introduction then. Well, thank y'all for the comments. Those are all good comments. (Clears throat) Now, the way I kind of approached the way that I did this lesson a little different than I've done some in the past. We're starting off with the question, and then after our introduction, we'll see there's some things we're going to lead into as far as looking at our attitude before we actually go into a lot of the material itself about evangelism. But and I didn't put a lot of questions. There's going to be some of these lessons are going to have some questions in them, but they're not all of them aren't necessarily going to have it. So it's kind of just depends on what we were talking about. So we're approaching it just a little different way in that manner and see how that goes as well. So we just in the introduction, we see that we just looked at the question that I'd asked about what does evangelism mean to you, and we kind of defined it in our own way. And, you know, as we go on, our definition, it's probably going to change depending on what we put down at this point. So, well, at least hopefully, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, your definition is going to change a little bit. Yes, sir?
I have a question. In the Old Testament times, this seems to be more of a New Testament thing, evangelism, because in the Old Testament times, I don't know of them doing evangelism. I mean, they taught and they, you know, tried to convert people to Judaism and all, but when you were in the Old, you were born into the family and you didn't, you know, the proselytes. So this is kind of a New Testament thing.
Maybe in a sense, but were they to do anything with their children or any of that? Okay. Okay. So, you know, I can't think of the exact verse and everything, but it's supposed to be on your, write it on your head. And yeah.
Deuteronomy.
Thank you.
And also, when they did not, like in the Judges, there arose a generation who did not know God.
Didn't know.
Because the priests didn't do their work.
Right.
The parents didn't do their work. And so they went into apostasy.
Because priests, they were to teach.
Yes, the Levites were to teach.
Okay.
God set up the whole system, you know, to do that. And he sent prophets, you know, to do it too. And so you see the idea all throughout the New Testament. You
know. That wasn't for everybody then. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Gentiles, Jews, like the main deal there is the Jews.
Right. This what as far as yes, I understand what you're saying. Yes.
But God did send prophets to the Gentile nation to get them to know God and to serve Him.
Okay.
Nineveh is a good example.
Okay.
I see that. That's right. Look at
Job. That's a good. I'll write that down. Okay. So I hope that in our study we're able to have a better understanding of evangelism, what it is, and that we will bring to our remembrance the need and purpose. Because like we said, or like what was brought up, this idea of dedication. You know, when we really think about, I don't want to duplicate some of the stuff I'm going to talk about, so I'm not going to say too much. But when we think about what was done for us, do we really reflect back on that? You know, when it comes to our neighbor and others, we know that they don't know about the truth.
That should be a motivating factor.
Yes. It should. But realistically, I'm not sure that that's such a fact, though. Should be. But I agree. Because I want you all to understand from the get-go, me teaching this class is not because I'm real good at this evangelism thing. This is very helpful to me in my studying and stuff, because this is something I need to work on. And I'm sure it's something that we all need to work on to one extent or another. Because even if we're good at it now, we can still be better. It's just we need to have the right attitude about those things. And again, like we already mentioned, the Bible doesn't use this term or this word evangelism. This is our word or term, so we'll be looking at definitions and define the word in the way that we will be using it. And our definitions are going to be based on the things that we see in the Bible. And I'm kind of looking down, reading, so if y'all have any questions, just get my attention or comments. Even though the word evangelism isn't in the Bible, we do see a similar word, like Doug already brought up. That's the word evangelist. And we'll look at this some more once we get further in our lessons. But in 2 Timothy 4:5, we can go ahead and look over there. We see that, and now this was written to Timothy, but we see this idea that he was charged to do this work of an evangelist. And so he was a local preacher or what of in Ephesus. So what kind of things did he do? Let's look over at 2 Timothy 1:3. We'll see that he was to instruct, and I lied, it's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:3, that will make a difference.
You misspoke.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I misspoke. So, so we see this idea that he was to instruct. I'm not going to go too much into detail about the men, because we'll see that idea later on in a local work. But we know that he used to preach the word. And in 2 Timothy, what does it tell us about this word? And that might not be a clear question, but
in chapter 3, that he was to teach the word because it was proper for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness.
Yes, ma'am. 3:16.
Mm-hmm. And 17. It's adequate. That's all he needed.
That's all he needed, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all he needed.
And see, you read my mind. That's what I was looking for. I didn't know if my question was clear, but that's so we see there in 2 Timothy 3:16 that and 17 that this was all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And in his case, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. But we can see if that can equip him to work in that capacity, then we can use that very thing as well. Although in this passage, we know it's not talking, it's speaking to Timothy. Contextually.
But you know, you probably will cover later in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, in verse 2, it says, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach also.
Yeah, so that's when we get into this pattern thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, because that is one of the verses we're going to look at, because we're going to see that there's a pattern going on. Mm-hmm. And so it's more than just the initial, if you will, I don't know the best way to word it, but some might think basically, you know, well, let's teach them the gospel. They're baptized. Okay, we're done. So that's not necessarily what it is. You know, there's a whole reason for this. And then once you get to that point, because we even see that in Acts 2 and 41, they were continuing in teaching. And the apostles teaching and everything. So they were continued to grow. That way we can have this cycle, if you will. So we're not gospel preachers in this sense that Timothy was, but we too should use the inspired word to teach others and to preach the word. because as was already mentioned, we do have a duty to preach in that aspect. Now, we will notice that there's many references to those that are not evangelists in this sense, but that's what they were doing. They're still teaching. And like was brought up, I don't remember who said it, but this happens. This has to do with what the message means to you. Okay, and back to the dedication thing. So that's something for us to think about. What does this message mean to us individually? Throughout the lessons, we will be looking at these things from different angles. And I'm not sure that I worded this the best way, but on these different angles, we're going to have some of the time we're going to be approaching these things as those that know the truth, because some of the things that we're going to be talking about are things that as Christians we're already familiar with. But I also want to look at this from a different perspective in some of these things when we get to teaching about, you know, who is this for, different things like that. I want to look at it at a, I don't know if more basic is the right way, but I want us to think of it. Maybe we can think about how we were before we knew the truth. You know, so maybe we can think of some things that would, I think we get to a point sometimes, even though we've been over here, we forget what kind of things pricked our attention and different stuff like that. So I'm hoping that we can kind of approach some things from that angle, because that's going to help us maybe when we try to share this with other people. So that's what I'm hoping for anyway. So I put here, do we remember how we used to view things? Okay, and what I meant by that is before we learned the truth. I mean, I'm sure we've got all different, some people grew up in the church, some people didn't. We have all different backgrounds in here. But all of us, there was still, no matter what your background, there's still changes that had to be made, and it was based off of an understanding. So what changed? Our knowledge. So our understanding is what had to change. And, you know, at times, you know, depending on how long you've been a Christian, maybe we get more comfortable because of our knowledge. Maybe we forget, in a sense, the state that we were in. We recognize we were in that state, but maybe it doesn't remind us in a sense that we would want to help other people and help other people to overcome that situation that we too were once in. I heard a comment.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you made a comment about what changed. And when you said knowledge, yes, our knowledge did change. We did learn, but I think in some people's cases, there needs to be more of a change. Your friends, your lifestyle.
Okay.
In some cases, your family.
Okay.
In some cases, your work. Things like that. Some cases, there has to be a bigger change that comes with that knowledge.
Okay. And I agree with that, but on the thought of evangelizing, how is somebody going to know that they need to make these kind of changes? And that is going to be based on knowledge. And but once you started to say something, I thought you were actually going to go somewhere else if we'd share that brain.
I'm off frequency. Sorry.
One thing I did, once you said that, I thought you were going to mention something about going back to the example thing. because that is what most of the time, especially someone that wasn't brought up in the church, that's something that is going to get their attention, at least to some extent. But we have to explain that. You know, we have to, hopefully the way that we're living is going to you know, prick their thinking and say, well, why do you live like that? But then once we're to that point, there's still something we got to do, especially when that question comes up. Yes, sir.
I think the word pleasure has a lot to do with this too, you know, because so many times when people are in the world and not thinking about God and His ways and will, pleasures take front and center for them, and they kind of control them. Look at that, those first time I kind of gets control of them, and maybe it still has to do with explaining and teaching, and all because you're sharing with people your experiences and how you had pleasure just like they had pleasures, but you had to refocus, you know, reposition your
Well, so many people on that line, so many people might think that we just don't enjoy life.
Yeah,
y'all don't have any fun. Y'all are boring. But that's not true. And as our thinking changes, then our understanding of that will change as well. Because I was guilty. But
my mind is, you know, what changes for people to want to seek the gospel? A lot of times their situation in life changes. I think it's kind of mentioned before, but you know, a loved one dies, and
yes,
they start thinking more eternal. They start searching for the truth, or you know, they may have children now, and they want to get serious about life, things like that. So we have to be ready for when people are in a better situation to receive the truth, to be able to give it to them, to plant that seed on the soil that becomes a good soil.
Yes. I agree. That's a good point.
Craig, I think
ma'am.
I think Paul said it well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. So everyone, you know, the whole thing, you know, that everyone was saying was that what has to change for one to even come to understanding the truth and accepting the knowledge of truth is they want it.
Right.
You know, and
right,
they love it. So they're going to seek it or they're going to accept it. And
would Jesus compare it to a treasure that somebody goes and buys the field and seek it and desire it?
Yeah. Well, and another thing that I think of too when we're talking about this is, you know, when we're doing this teaching and stuff, it does have to do a lot with the other person as well. I don't want us to be discouraged when we're doing this, because we need to recognize that firsthand, that, you know what, just because you are doing this doesn't equal that someone's going to receive it well. It doesn't equal that they're going to, you know, be convinced of anything. But we've got an example of a master teacher in here that knew how to answer any question, and he still didn't convince everybody. So let's not let that discourage us.
Well, our emphasis in this class is the idea that the evangelizer should have the love of the truth.
Right.
That's it. What other people believe or what they come to believe, you know, is up to them.
Yes, but we are still going to look at some of the other aspect of it as far as when we sow the seed, so have an understanding of the difference.
And convey to another person, they see that you love the truth, something mm-hmm. you're passionate about, it goes over.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because we can't try to teach something and be I'll get it out. Somebody help me out. Yes. If I wasn't standing right here, I could say it, but yeah.
We don't want the negative responses that we get to affect our enthusiasm to keep on trying to tell others about.
Right. Right, because I think what Doug was, mm-hmm. and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're more saying, I mean, we're the plant and the water. God gives the increase.
That's exactly
so,
right.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Any other comments or thoughts? I don't remember if I made my comment. I was thinking. Oh, let me go back. One thing I was thinking of. We don't know what is going to prick somebody's thoughts. And, you know, too many times I think maybe we pre-qualify people as far as who we would teach. And I probably wouldn't have been somebody's first choice. And, you know, the things that can get someone's attention might be the simplest thing. Because when I learned the truth, I didn't know anything about the Bible. And when Dawn and her mom were trying to talk with me and stuff, I was on the idea that, you know, how are you supposed to know what truth is? You know, because you've got people that believe one thing and you've got these people over here that believe another. And, you know, I was like, I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I was smart enough to say, well, there's a problem with that, you know. But it was a simple answer of, well, we just go by what the Bible says. Okay, makes sense to me. So then the only way you can question that is then you're going to have to look into it. So maybe simple stuff like that might make us think, or make the person think that we're talking to. Any other comments or thoughts? Or no?
Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? So many times, he just used one few words, you know, have you not read?
Yes.
I mean, simple stuff.
Simple things. Yeah, because we don't know where it's... I mean, there is a point at some time, if it's somebody we've had more time around, that we might can get some idea of what angle to approach it, or at least where they're at, because that's going to matter as far as how we approach it. But the thing is, we shouldn't let that dictate us not approaching it. Because if we're not sure where to go, then we just need to start somewhere. Yes, ma'am?
And somebody said a minute ago about it being our job to plant the seed. And that really is our only job. We plant and God gives the increase, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for me, sometimes it's hard to not be discouraged when you're planting and nothing happens.
Yeah.
But... And like, especially with me too, like with, you know, one of my children not being faithful, I did plant that seed. And you've got to get over beating yourself up about it. Noah preached while he was building the ark. Noah preached for a long, long time. And not one other soul was
right.
saved besides,
right.
you know, his family.
Right.
And so I think that we have to remember that too, and just because no one is listening to us or heeding doesn't mean that we're not doing our job either.
Right. And it doesn't mean that we're doing a bad job of it. It's just that people are free moral agents. It's up to them to decide.
Not even Jesus converted everyone.
Right.
So if he can't,
right.
we're surely not.
Oh, we're not going to. Yeah. That's true. That is true. Are there any other thoughts or comments?
Well, kind of piggybacking on what she said, if you are planting the seed and a situation happens to where that person that you that like your children have fallen away, not being faithful, that does not mean that something will not happen in their life.
Oh, right.
That will make them rethink their situation and bring them back.
Right. So what, in that case, what's important maybe that we do?
Don't give up.
Okay. Well, but we've planted that seed. They know. They've been taught the truth. We just need to make sure they still see it in us. And not saying that any of us in here that they're not. That's not my point. But it's something for us to think about. Because we can teach them this, and if they're already going away from it, and then, oh, look at Mom and Dad. They're just going to go further. I say that. That could be incorrect, but you would think most of the time that that would drive them further, because then you've kind of just confirmed that it's not that important or something to that extent.
I think the example given in that situation, sometimes others get to sow what we've planted. Mm-hmm. Some people get to reap what we planted, and we get to reap what others planted.
Yes. Yes.
And Paul mentioned that in one of the Corinthians letters.
Yes, sir.
Because God has an answer for children who have left the faith, and you tried to bring them back, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I was going to say. You know, no matter. We can't let our feelings, and whether it's, we just finished a study of marriage and divorce, we can't let our feelings, whether it's that subject or evangelism or anything else, whatever God says is what we need to do.
Right.
And sometimes those are hard decisions concerning family.
Oh, yeah.
And close friends and things like that, when they want hear what you're trying to say. But we have to remember that we have to obey what God's Word says about those things and not let our feelings override that and get soft or whatever the right term would be.
Right.
So,
because if we do that, then we're
then we put ourselves in a situation where, you know, we're not doing what's
we're not being effective.
Right.
How are we doing on time? Any other thoughts or comments? These are all good comments. Thank y'all.
Craig, you mentioned something along the lines of prejudices when you said about how you never know who you might affect.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, as the master teacher, you know, was criticized because he would dine with people that the Pharisees and the leaders thought that were sinners and tax collectors, and even made some of one of the apostles, and then allowing the adulterous woman to touch him and making company with sinners because he was there for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there just for people that seem to the world or seem to others as morally right to begin with, mm-hmm. but people that may need a heart to be changed more so than others. So, you know, we shouldn't have those prejudices.
Right.
Put those aside.
That's a good point. And we're going to, in one of our classes, we're going to look at the, I think it's the next one, the Good Samaritan. We'll see that idea. You know, in the Good Samaritan, that this goes far beyond, you know, our prejudices, color, sex, anything. You know, this is for everybody. This was provided for all those that are able to be accountable. Yes, sir.
It makes it easier if we always think of the person as the soul.
Are there any other comments? I think we'll stop at Ennis's comment unless anybody else has anything else. We'll just pick up in the next class. Thank you all for your comments.
Where do we start?
next class page.
Do I have to be in submission? You want that perspective?
Why have
you let me see yours. I want to see where you're at on.
Yeah, I think we're still on page two, so we'll just kind of pick up.
Kind of by the question, how do we do this? Oh no, actually, we'll pick up a little bit above that actually, but somewhere in that area.